3, and it really is good to have everyone here today. For those who missed the ink setters, they're going to come back on Wednesday. They'll be here. They just went out do some visiting and so on. It'd be good to have them back. Amen. So I want to talk to young people today, but I want to say this, if I could, a word to the parents first. And I know we're on the same team, right? Our team, parents, young people, children. And I'm for you and your family and your kids being saved. Mark, bring it up. That's fine. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. So, thank you. So, when I say this, I'm in favor of this afternoon listening to what I'm saying, and I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing, but please listen to me. I want to say this to the adults: don't be quick to sit there and amen every point when your teens are guilty. Right? I mean, there's a temptation there. And, you know, amen, pray. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But, you know, the young people can be embarrassed and so on. But don't be that way. Be a little bit more sensitive. And what I mean to say is this, that I'm not saying don't amen. Just be careful way, amen. I mean, that's a good thought, right? And so, again, you know, don't be you know, finding fault and so on. And I'll find it for you. Amen? Let me be the bad guy and you just grab Junior Esmeralda and just sit down. He preaches a nice guy, and I agree wholeheartedly. So, young people, I want to ask you to think with me this afternoon of 5 of your closest relationships. You got them? And in other words, the people who have been there for you, who have added to the quality of your life. I want you to think about 5 of them. Now, I want you to consider where you would be today without those people. Would your life be look the same? Would it be the same quality, same depth? And then remember, God created us that we could would need those relationships, and we need people who love us and approve of us, and cheer us on in our endeavors. So what makes us feel needed and valuable? That's very important. And, you know, parents need that. Our young people need that. Our children need it. Now that you have those people in mind, let's fast forward to today, this afternoon. What value do you add to those people's lives? What do you give back? What do you give back to them? You may say you love and appreciate them, but talk is cheap. You know that. So it's your actions that prove what you really feel, and it's very important. So, what do you add in your relationships? What part do you play in your relationship? What do you do? Do you bring contentions, or peace? Honesty or deceit? Happiness or heartache? Pain or pleasure? In other words, what would the same people lose if they lost you? And when you answer that, ask yourself this: is this the way you want it to be? And is this what God created you to be? So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless our time, and then we'll read the scripture. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray for your help. We pray that the message would be a blessing, not only to the adults, but also to the young people. And I pray, Father, you work a great work among them and answer our prayers. And we trust it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them, In verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the term or title, teen or teenager, is not found in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, you'd have to go back to the 1940s, somewhere after the war, that you find the term teenager introduced to our society. And I mentioned this a little bit in Sunday school, that that's when the teenager came about. And they almost did it. I'll say why they did it. They did it to separate families. They said, how do they separate families? Well, here's why. They're a different category. And it was a different idea. And the idea was, you know, you can have your freedom and you can drive and you can have your own friends and you can have your own life and so on. Now, I understand that. Kids have friends. But that is not to take away from your responsibility of your family. See, the idea is not for your family to all of a sudden be without you in your teenage years. That's for marriage, when you get married. And so the idea is that, you know, God wants a family to be together, to be unified. And think about the baby, the child, the young men, young women, father and mothers. That's the idea that God depicts in His Word. They're called a teenager, or you can call them a child. I mean, I want to say it as nice as I can, but aren't you teenagers children? Or are you single people children? Thank you, brother. So are you the rest of you asleep? So our culture over the past so many years has created the years between 12 and 21 as a time of life to be irresponsible, to sow your wild oats, to try and do whatever one wants or likes, and create a great distance or difference between their parents. And, you know, I lived through the 60s. It's not like I'm a Johnny come lately. I've been around. I've been around since 56. And for that reason, there's, a credibility here. I've seen life. I've experienced life. I've not only been married, I've had children. I'm now a grandfather. And so there's credibility here and there's wisdom that I want to impart to you. And this has been portrayed in our society as the norm or as expected or accepted. And it's wrong. It's dead wrong. That God's Word, the truth, the absolute states the opposite. You know, one's youth is a time of preparation for life. It's not a time to throw away. After high school, till I'm 26, and then get serious, life is serious. And I mean that with all my heart. And it's so important to be responsible and godly and become a godly adult. It's a period of time that developing, knowing Christ and salvation. And remember, the Bible says, remember thy Creator. When? The days of thy youth. And it's a time of maturing into adulthood, of schoolwork and study and maturing and being balanced and being responsible with your money. It's not a time to throw your money around or take it lightly. It's a time to squirrel things away. I have to just tell you, I got two texts this week from Craig about a squirrel in his house. You got to hear it. It was great. I sat there just smiling at the text and envisioning in my mind what Craig went through. So I don't want to say better you than me. So it's a time of spirituality. It's a time for a cause. You know, young people, what are kids marching for? We don't want guns. We're going to outlaw guns. I mean, it's so crazy. You outlaw guns. What's the next thing to go? Your speech. Well, I don't think, you should have this. That's not the issue. The issue is you don't want to outlaw guns. And it's not guns that kill. It's people who kill. and didn't have guns, they'd be doing what they do in England and stabbing anyone to death. It's crazy what people, we don't want any guns. That's what they did in Germany and in Russia and in China and other places. No guns, no freedom of speech. And the left, just much of the right. It's a time to develop mentally, emotionally. You want to be balanced. You don't want to be all over the board. It's a time to develop yourself financially. So many squander their youth and don't prepare for adulthood. And that's why you have 30-year-olds who, think of nothing to, live with their grandparents, their grandma. Please understand, I'm not condemning that. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I think it's right. But I'm talking about people who we would call back in our day, not to take it now, but bums. Living off the land. Not working. Not investing. Not making a life worthwhile. I'm not condemning, an older person with their parents. What I'm condemning is not being a contributor to society. Not being what God wants you to be. I'm saying that the mentality of, I'm just going to loaf around and sponge off mom and dad. That's not right. You want to be a contributor not only to the house of God, but to society. So many squander and don't prepare for adulthood, which causes great pain and difficulty in their adult years. Now, the philosophy among young people is the opposite of the teaching of the Scriptures. A young man at the age of 12 in the Jewish society was considered an adult. Now, I can tell you, and I'm not picking on anyone, but I can look around and see 12-year-olds here and older, and, they don't act manly or as a woman would. It's like they don't want to learn it. I don't want to learn to cook. I don't want to learn a trade. I don't want to grow. I don't want to get educated. I want to sow my wild oats. I want to live in a home and sponge off my parents and do what I want to do. Well, that's not reality. It's not life. Life is precious. It's worth investing in. It's worth learning things, becoming what God... And I appreciate a lot of our young people investing their lives, learning. I mean, we may have a doctor on our hands. I mean that, Justin. I don't know if I'd go to him, but anyway. I'm just teasing. You'd be my favorite doctor. But I'm not going to him. Anyway, when you think about it, you got to be serious-minded to be a doctor. I mean, you know that brother, right? And he wants to become that. I think it's great. So, the idea is the opposite in the Scriptures. The idea of the teenage day is worldly. It's selfish. It's self-centered. It's self-defeating. It's a worldly philosophy. It's immaturity. To think it was the whole purpose of life is to sow your wild oats. You say, well, it's really not. It's only a period of time. Where do you find a period of time in the Bible where you sow your wild oats? You see the story of the prodigal son. That wasn't good. So again, the idea is, is the Bible's right? That's what we want to invest in. That's what we want to know. We want to know the Lord and salvation. So you think about a baby. The baby is described as wanting its own way, cannot learn difficult lessons, it's apt to quarrel. That's mine, and fighting over a toy or something. It's taken by personality, someone who's funny, someone who's silly, someone who's strong or loud, far more qualities than character. They should, be learning to develop their character, their personalities, after the Bible. They're possessive, against selfish. They always need to be taught. They would rather play than work. They're easily distracted. Oh, look at the silver spoon. They're taken by it. Has no proper sense of values. There's relationships. There's no right or wrong. They're babies. Frequently saying the wrong things. It's easily upset because they have their own way. And that's not what you're here for, young men, young ladies. So, I'm glad I'm 22, not 21. The point is this. This way, we should not be out sowing wild seeds. Get serious in our life. Nothing wrong with having fun, but, you have to have a seriousness to it also. So I want to speak, if I could, to the young women and young men here first to remind you of your responsibility to your parents. And I want to say, first of all, the Bible says this throughout the Word of God, you're to honor your parents in word and deed. And honor them with obedience. Notice Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible said, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, honor them with respectful language. You want to honor them because of who they are and what they've done. You want to honor them for their work's sake, for the investment they made. He said, my father had to invest in my life. My mother had to invest. All right, are they trying to now? Yeah. Well, then you forgive and move on. That's going to be a valuable lesson to learn in life. You're going to learn to forgive. Just as your parents have learned to forgive you, you got to learn to forgive your parents. But you're going to honor them. And that's that word here in Colossians, in Ephesians, in the Old Testament, Exodus 5, is so important. It's such a strong term. It's reverence them. Is to lift them up. Is to exalt them in one sense. In your heart and mind. That's very important, beloved, to honor them. Turn your Bibles, please. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And notice, if you would, verse 18. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. And the Bible says in verse 18, if a man have a stubborn, rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall the father's mother lay hold on him, bring him out into the elders of the city and unto the gates of the place. And when they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And then when all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, then that he die, so shall evil be put away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Well, I'm not suggesting this at all, but that's how the nation of Israel took rebellion and disobedience. Drunkenness. Slothfulness. It was unacceptable. Unacceptable. So we want to be as teenagers, as singles, we want to do something worthwhile. It's not laying around and having a relationship with a girl or a guy. That's not life. Our young men need to learn to invest their lives, their minds, their hearts, their thoughts, in the things of God, and then also in a science or a study that they're going to be involved with. What does God want with your life? I have to tell you that, when this idea of I'm going to lay around with girls, I'm going to, be involved with girls, guys, I have to tell you that that is not a healthy way of living. It's our culture, but it's not right. Because that's not the end all. There's more to life. You say, are you kidding me, Preet? That's not the end all. It's not. It's the icing on the cake. The relationship is what's important. The husband-wife relationship. It's a fellowship. It's a friendship. But that's the icing on the cake. There's nothing wrong with it as long as it's within marriage. But before that, you're not to be involved with that. You're to abstain from that. That's why this whole idea of dating. I got to date someone. I got to have someone. Can you cook? Can you clean a house? I'm not saying that's the only thing a woman does, but that's important. Can you put a meal on the table? I know that people listen, I'm telling you something. Don't be so backwards. That's important. Important to a man to come home to a wife, to have a meal on a table. It's important. He's been out there, working hard, whatever he had to do and so on. He wants to come home. He wants to come home to a place of peace. Amen. Do you work for a living? You work more than 20 hours? Don't tell me it's hard to get a job and there's a gazillion out there. This is a time of unemployment. Right? Go work, go get a job, you go to college, that's one thing, but work. Very important, gentlemen. Be men. To be an example. I'm telling you, we lost manhood. Not in our church, we lost manhood. And men don't know how to work anymore. They don't know how to provide. That's very important. So you want to honor your parents in word and deed. And why would anyone speak disrespectfully to their parents? That's like people get, assistance, mouth off to the government. Why would you mouth off to the government? They just gave you my tax money. Help pay for that. And what is not good enough? What's good enough? What I'm saying is that there should be no time in your life to dishonor your parents. None. Very important to be respectful. Number two, to honor them by not exposing their imperfections. Now, I know young people. I've seen them. I've seen them pastors' kids. And I've seen, kids in church and, the world where, they'll mock their parents. They'll scorn their parents. They'll ridicule them. They talk behind their back. My dad, he's got this and his hair goes bald. Well, guess whose son you are? Give it time, bud. You're wearing a hat. So that's not being honoring your parents. It's very important that you don't ridicule them. I know kids that used to ridicule their pastor, their father who's a pastor. They mock, make fun of me, roll their eyes, mock them behind his back. That's not right. You know why? Because God sees that. God sees it. Now, you may not think so, but He does. He sees everything. He knows everything. And so they expose their shortcomings in their pride and self-righteousness. Young people as well need discretion. And learn to judge themselves. That's an important part. You're not going to get saved unless you judge yourself. You need to look at your sin. My sin. My shortcoming. My sin. My iniquity. To help parents and all you can, let's turn the table and ask, what would you want from your son and daughter? What kind of parent are you going to be? I'm going to let them do anything. Oh, really? You don't want to do that. That means the Bible says you don't love them. You let them get away with things. So the idea is, you want to have the respect and the honoring of your parents to be at its height. Now, are they perfect? No. I'm telling you right now, I'm not perfect. My wife wasn't perfect. That didn't mean our kids shouldn't obey us. Our kids aren't perfect. Just like your parents aren't perfect. But that doesn't mean you don't respect them. And you don't love them. You don't treat them right. I mean that. Your children never talk back to you. Never. I remember one time I was at the ripe old age of maybe 11. And my grandmother, we called a nanny, she was an Irish lass. And she came over one time to babysit for my parents. So my parents hardly went out. I don't think they had the money necessarily, but so they went out to a movie or something like that. And my grandmother came over, and this is what she did. She had Mounds bars that she bought. She bought two of them. So we each have a Mound bar. So my brother Paul got one, my sister got one, my grandmother Nanny got one, and I got one. And I said to my grandmother, I said, "This is it?" I said, "You're cheap." My grandmother, we were in the kitchen, and my grandmother got me by the nape of the neck, ran me over to the sink, and with her finger, she stuck it in my mouth and pulled out every piece of Mounds bar, coconut, chocolate, and everything else out of my mouth. I shouldn't have said that. Because you know what? My grandmother was taking money and working hard 6 days a week to take care of my grandfather, who was dying as a drunk. And my grandma and I became like that. I was her best bud. And you know what I never did? I never said she was cheap again. I was a big mouth. I had to learn an ugly lesson. But I learned it. I never did it again. So it's so important to be responsible and respectful. And that means your whole life. You know, I can tell you this, people who make it in business, make it in life, one thing that stands out about them is they're respectful and they're responsible. And you know why God puts you in a home? For you to learn respect, honor, and responsibility. That's the whole thing. So you can go out and you find sweetheart or you find, you know, junior. And you can fall in love, and the man's responsible, and he's going to take good care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to meet your needs, and you're going to reproduce the family all over again, and even better. Now, parents, I want to tell you what parents owe their young people. And first of all, you owe them a spiritual upbringing. Note with me Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, notice verse 4. And the Bible says, and ye fathers, now notice, it didn't say your mothers, your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So there's two things that a man needs to do as a father. He needs to nurture and admonish his children in the Lord. That's two things. And then by doing that, you're going to bring them up. And our children should be brought up. They should reproduce us. They should be like us. But you've got to nurture them. You've got to invest in them. You've got to talk to them. You know, we've done this our whole life, Liz and I, and, you know, interacting with our children. Take our kids out. Sometimes just one. Sometimes all of them. But we were known back when we lived on Lakeland Avenue, we were known to have the addition to our house, which was, a screened-in porch. And you know where you'd find the grass? It was nice weather. We'd be out on the porch. John would be playing his guitar. The rest of us would be singing or talking. That's what we did. It wasn't that we sat in front of the TV endless hours. It was we talked, we communicated, we laughed, we planned. We had good interaction. And you don't have to have a porch to do that. You can do it in your living room. You can sit in the kitchen. The idea is to communicate with one another. That's what you owe your children. Let them hear about great meetings that you had at the church. My kids all heard the different meetings we had up in Grand Forks. Brother Lazy coming in. Brother Silcox. Oh, he preached a mess one time. Silly Doves without... Remember that? Ay, ay, ay. I didn't hear it. I was out on an Air Force mission. But I'm telling you, he peeled the paint off the walls in church that night. He skinned the cat. I know this is not ASPC approved, but that's what he did. Skin the cat. Our kids need to hear that. Our kids need to hear about meetings we had at First Baptist and now Long Island Baptist. I hope they experience a great revival meeting in the June. I hope it's the greatest meeting ever. And we'll pray towards that. But this is something you want to do. You want to fellowship. You want to tell them stories of the times you failed. I'm telling you, from my parents, neighbors, teachers, when I heard that, you know, from the times that they failed in life, it was such an encouragement to me. Wow, I remember Pastor Silcox telling me this. Times that he failed, he took a shotgun. Don't you do this, boys. He took a shotgun. And he went out rabbit hunting up in Minnesota. And he was so excited that guess what he did? He shot a hole in a radiator. He never got out for the rabbit. And then he had to go home and tell his father. But that story encouraged my heart. I said, why? Because I realized that if you can make mistakes and succeed, I can do it too. Not that I want to make mistakes, but I mean, it's part of life. So, a spiritual upbringing to nurture is the active process of raising, training, educating, fostering the whole training of a child. And to admonish is, warring and rebuking. That's part of our lives. The Bible says, in the Lord. That's salvation, service, and separation. It's all part of our lives. And then, number two, make a safe place raising children. You know, have your children a safe place. I have to tell you, the days of having your kids sleep over, I think those days are behind us, beloved. They really are. Having around relatives that you don't know what they do or what they're about. You know, you take care of your kids. You protect them. You protect them spiritually. Protect them emotionally. Protect your children physically and mentally. Home ought to be a safe place. And again, the idea of communication to your children, feeling safe. You know, communicate what they mean to you. You know, acceptance, values, availability, boundaries. Now, I know right now that you don't appreciate, some of our young people don't appreciate boundaries. They're necessary. Let me ask you this. You let your dog run all over the place? Oh, I don't. Why? Well, he may bite someone. He may, you know, wreck someone's property and so on. You put him in a fence. And I'm saying, I'm not saying kids are dogs, but I'm saying they have to have boundaries. Why do you want your home at 10 o'clock? Because if you stay out late, you're going to be in trouble. You don't want to be in trouble. Why do you want to be in trouble? You want to, you know, live right, live clean. Chance of getting in trouble. You're in trouble with a girl. Trouble with guys. So all we're doing is sitting around talking at midnight. You're not either. If that's the case, I'm going to come join you. You want to do that? No, I don't want to be in the conversation. And then also, you provide a solid upbringing. Let me say this, and we'll close. Our children need to have unconditional love. Don't tell your kids God's not going to love you if you do this. When did you start receiving love from God? When you started living right? No. God loved the world. He loves everything. He loves everyone. But the idea is you want to give them unconditional love, and then you want to give them worth. You know, you want your children to know that they're important, that they're needed, that they're wanted, that they're special. And you realize all our kids are going to be different, but every difference is with child. They're still special. And you want them to have that security. And let me close by saying this. This is a plan for my life. You know what I'm doing now? Liz and I are doing is we're helping our grandkids. Not only did we give it to our children, we're also helping our grandchildren. That they're important. That we love them. You know, Johnny said the other day and at our house, he said to us, when I was down in Florida, he said, my grandparents are a little strict. But here in New York, my grandparents spoiled me. Well, if he thinks what we do is spoil him, I mean, that's all right. But we really don't. But we give them much love. We care about them. They're important to us. And that's what we want to do for our kids. Amen. I'm going to ask heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. And I want you to respond. Young